Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Bob Bertog is that landscaper we put on Wednesdays, usually later in the show, but Bob's going to join us right now to answer your lawn and garden questions. I've usually got a couple, and maybe you do too. 312-981-7200. Hi, Bob Bertog. How are you?
Good, John. How are you?
Pretty good. I was looking at my lawn the other day and wanted to do something. I was thinking, I haven't put any fertilizer on there in a while. Is this a, for those people who are on like a four stage, or maybe you haven't been paying attention to the four stages of lawn care, is it okay to put some fertilizer on my lawn right now?
And you pretend like you don't know anything. This is the perfect time to be putting it down. Third application of the season should be going down now.
Third application?
Yep. You had your one in April that included the pre-emergent, then you had your one in June, which had the insecticide for grubs. This third one is just straight fertilizer.
Straight fertilizer, because actually, to be honest with you, Bobby, I was looking at my lawn, and, you know, I have this garden of weeds that I call my lawn. I've got Creeping Charlie, and I've got crabgrass, and palm trees, whatever you can possibly grow, I've got it there, but lawn. And I was thinking, well, maybe I'll put something down to kill the Creeping Charlie or the crabgrass, but I don't know if there is such a thing that kills crabgrass but doesn't kill the lawn. Anyway,
There is? Yes, but and crabgrass has been super bad this year just because of the heat. It loves heat, and it's been very hot the last couple of weeks, so the crabgrass just took off. But there is a post-emergent crabgrass control. You just got to be careful not to spray if it's over 80 degrees.
Really?
It can drift off into desirable plants, your flowers and things, and you don't want to be knocking back stuff that doesn't need to be killed.
It's been relatively cool the last week or so, but I know we sure have had some hot spells. So the crabgrass just took hold, huh?
It took hold, and it's in what they call the fourth tiller right now, which is its the last stage, because with the first frost, the crabgrass will die. It is just an annual weed, but it grows fast. People don't like it. It's lime green. It doesn't look good. You can treat it with a post-emergent.
So should I put down the crabgrass killer and the fertilizer at the same time?
You could, but usually the crabgrass killer is going to be a liquid, and I don't like liquid fertilizer, so I would use a granular fertilizer and a liquid herbicide.
Granular fertilizer, liquid herbicide. So use the liquid to kill the crabgrass and then put my fertilizer down.
Correct. And then water it in, and you got to feed it. Just your lawns are looking hungry right now, so they just want some food.
This texter says, hey, John Williams, why do I have crabgrass? I hate it. Help. That sounds like a philosophical question. You have crabgrass because there is crabgrass. But I don't know, are we doing something wrong that we get it, Bob?
The problem with the crabgrass this year is people put down a preventative in April. And if you remember how much rain we had in April, it actually flushed that herbicide through the thatch layer before the crabgrass germinated. So the crabgrass was able to germinate and obviously grow through the thatch layer. So Mother Nature took the punch out of it in the spring. So now you have to treat it with a post-emergent. The only bad thing about the post-emergents is they're rather pricey.
Let's talk to Walt on line three. You're on WGN. Walt, what can we do for you? You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Several years now I have had ground hornets or cicada killers burrowing in the yard. They've always been along borders of flower beds and things like that. This year, they are burrowing in out in the open section of the yard and just wreaking havoc. And is there anything I can do to stop them or make the ground less attractive to them?
It sounds like they might have a pretty good sized nest going underground. This is not something that a landscaper would take care of. I would definitely bring in an exterminator, because I know those things can be. I know they say they're just cicada killers, but they might find a human rather tasty too. So I wouldn't mess around. I'd call an exterminator.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Good luck to you on that. Does Bob recommend using a soil improver like Scott's Foundation? What's that stuff?
It depends what's in it. There is a product. If there's carbon in there, that sometimes helps a lot. It breaks up a lot of clay soil. it really depends what's in it. I'm not familiar with Scott's product. We use a Carbon Pro product. It's a professional golf course product. But you want to first do a soil test to make sure that you need it. And you don't want to put down chemicals that you don't need to use. Now, granted, it's carbon, so it's a natural, comes out of the earth. But do a soil test and see if you need it. See if you have clay soils. Because if you have a sandy soil and you're putting carbon down, which, again, isn't a cheap product, you're just wasting money.
King John, please ask your landscape guy what he thinks about Milorganite.
It's a balanced fertilizer that's out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin sewers, and it is a slow feed. It does take a lot of, it's only 8% nitrogen, so you have to use quite a bit of it. And then, again, last week we talked about using that as a deterrent for deer and rabbits around your gardens because they don't like the smell of it.
I've heard friends that have put that on their lawn, and they just swear by it. They say that's why they have great lawns.
That's true. It is a good fertilizer. It's not a slow release, though. It's a quick release, and you do have to put down more, but a lot more is not better because it will burn because it is a fast release. But I've seen people get great results with it, and it's an organic product.
Dave, you're on WGN with Bob Bertog from Bertog Landscaping in Wheeling. What can we do for you, Dave? You're on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen. My brother in New Lenox has a yard full of beautiful ivy. I've tried to transplant some into my yard to put it along my fence. I need to know when and how to transplant ivy.
Do it in the fall, early fall. And the bigger the root ball you can take off of it, you want more soil so you can capture as much of the root as you can. And then just be sure to water it in. But don't do it in this weather now. It's too hot. It'll just bake.
Excellent. Thanks for the help.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I think a lot of us get anxious to mess around in the yard, and that's what I do on weekends. All the good advice you give us on Wednesdays, I don't do it on Saturdays, Bob, because I want to go play with my shovels and stuff, you know?
There you go.
312-981-7200 if you've got a question for Bob. This one comes up a lot. We had a cherry tree bloom with no fruit. Could it be Japanese beetles? People get frustrated when they don't see the flower or the fruit come on time. We've had a lot of those questions this year. What do you make of this one?
They said that it's a cherry tree?
Yeah, we had a cherry tree bloom with no fruit. Could it be the Japanese beetles?
No. The Japanese beetles generally go after just the leaf of the plant. So that... I'm not a big fruit farmer, so I don't know, but I know you have to have both male and female plants in order for them to produce fruit. So, did they lose another tree? And then there's some people that actually, if they have companies that spray so the trees don't bear fruit. So I don't know if something got misapplied on the tree, but it's not the Japanese beetle that would cause that.
What's the best way to completely get rid of ivy that is growing over some 10 feet tall evergreens?
By hand, unfortunately. It's the only way to do it. If it's mixed in with good vegetation that you want to keep, you got to cultivate it out by hand.
Yeah. And then sometimes you think you got it. And then, I've been doing a lot of that this year, too. I think, okay, I got it. I pulled everything away. There's nothing coming up around the base of the tree or the shrubs or the boxwoods or whatever they are. And then, doggone it, here comes some more. You know, it's frustrating.
You can go back to our glove trick. If you get it down, keep like 6 inches of it above the ground, and then take that glove we talked about and put the Roundup on the glove and then just wick the plant. And then that herbicide will systemically go down into the root system, and it will eventually kill the plant. But so you're trying to take it all out at once, might not do it. Leave a little bit so you can put some Roundup on it.
Oh, that's interesting. By the way, we planted some maple trees in front of our house this year. I've told you about that. We talked about people's trees. And you said a week or two ago, if the trunk of your tree going into the ground looks like a telephone pole, then it's been planted too deep. Do I remember that correctly?
You did. That's correct.
So I pulled some of the dirt away and kind of liberated that area a little bit. The tree was planted with a canvas sack around the ball, the root ball. Is it okay that canvas is still down there and is going to be there forever?
It won't be there forever. If it's burlap, it'll deteriorate within a year. It'll be gone. But you can even remove it yourself. It's more important to expose that root flare than it is. Don't worry about the burlap. Once the tree is where it's supposed to be sitting, primarily the burlap is just for transport, so the root ball doesn't fall apart.
The roots will grow through that. It'll disintegrate, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yep, exactly.
1145. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. This question, Bob, is what is the best grass seed to purchase to reseed in the fall for Chicago? What's the best grass seed for the fall in Chicago, Bob?
It depends if it's sunny or shady. So they start with that. And if it's 100% sunny, you get a nice bluegrass mix. If you have some shady areas, you want to make sure there's some fescues and some perennial rye, or not a perennial ryegrass in there as well.
Well, most people have a little bit of each, right?
Yeah, but some people have real dense shade. So you really have to be careful at it. And if you have a mix, most of your mixes have a sunny, shady mix, but there are mixes that are made particularly for the shade.
But if you are fortunate enough to have a big splash of sun there and it's all sun, then bluegrass.
Bluegrass blend, yep.
Blend. And is there a brand? Is Scott's or somebody else's blend of grass seed as good as somebody else's grass seed?
Well, here's where, I always preach about reading the label. You have to read the label and see where the grass seed comes from. And if it says origin unknown, or they don't give you the percentages of the breakdown of the grass seed, stay away from it, because origin unknown, it could come from the seed. You just might have what's left on the floor, and they sweep it into a pile and call it a seed mix. So if they don't tell you what the variety is, like what type of bluegrass it is or what type of ryegrass, and if it says origin unknown, stay away from it. So look for a detailed label that breaks it down for you.
Let's pick up more phone lines. We'll go to Mary on line one. You're on WGN with Bob Bertog. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Jen. Hi, Bob.
Hey.
I have some milkweed seeds, and I'd like to know when and how to plant them. I want to do it for the monarchs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Save the monarchs. We're all on that same page with you. You can eat either the spring or the fall. It probably won't do well in the summer. Just if you're going to do it in the fall, do it early enough, like probably in September. And then, just plant it like any other seed, a couple inches below the grade, and then water it.
Okay, fine. And it'll be okay over the winter.
As long as it germinates now and gets a chance to be established, yes. If you're not, if something happens to your calendar and you forget to do it, then wait until spring.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Good luck, Mary. Let's go to Chris. You're on WGN Radio. Chris, what's your question for Bob?
Hi, I have a beautiful Rose of Sharon bush, and I would like to know when is the best time to prune it and how do I prune it?
The Rose of Sharon are just finishing up their flowering season right now, so as soon as the petals drop, that's the time to prune it, and then they'll set buds for next year. And depending on how much you want to prune on it, it's sometimes Rose of Sharon gets so big that you have to actually do some dormant pruning where you're going to knock back a significant portion of it, but you are going to sacrifice flowers for next year. So I'm not sure how much you need to take off of it, but I do know Rose of Sharon get very big quickly. So you might have a one season where you're going to have to sacrifice flowers because you're going to have to prune it in the winter time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good luck to you. Describe a Rose of Sharon. We have one in front of our house. What is that, Bob?
It's in the hibiscus family, and it's a late season flowering shrub, ornamental, and they grow fast. They're relatively hardy, and people like them because they flower later in the season. You know, you have that in the spring, you have all your magnolias, your crabs, and everything, and now you have this time of the year where you have Rose of Sharon flowering, you have some hydrangea flowering now, late season hydrangea. So it's just another variety to add to the garden.
And at least the one we have puts off a lot of flowers. I mean, it's a really brightly colored. Do they come in different colors? I think ours is kind of a pinkish. Do you get different ones?
I've seen pinks, whites, tones of red maybe, but your pinks and your whites are the most popular.
Yeah, it's really, and then we had this real strong wind come through the other day, and ours grew to about 15 feet tall, and it just sheared a whole big chunk of it off because it was old wood anyway and just like ruined half of it. And so then I kind of cut everything back to scale, I don't know if I did more harm than good, but it was lopsided, so I kind of cut some of it back as well. Any advice for me there, Bob?
It should be fine. They're really hardy. The only thing is the timing of the trimming. If you do have to cut it back in size, that's something, like if you're going to cut a third of the plant out, you should do that when it's dormant in the wintertime.
Let's pick up more phone lines for Bob Bertog. Susan, you're on WGN Radio. How can we help you?
Yes, I have hydrangeas that when they were first planted, they flowered beautifully. But for the last 3 or 4 years, they grow, they get huge, the leaves are healthy, but I never get flowers. What do I do?
Those are endless summer hydrangea. I will bet money on that. And unfortunately, yeah, a lot of the growers, that's some of the people have problems with it. They flower great the first year, their first and second year, and then they don't flower anymore. So a lot of designers use the endless summer because, as you said, the leaves are beautiful. They use that architecture of the plant with the beautiful leaves. Some people plant it just for the leaf structure. But you can try and fertilize it. There's no magic pill to make them flower. And then I have clients who every year they flower. But for the most part, most people have bad luck with the endless summer.
Okay, because we have a lot of clay, too, so I was wondering if that's an issue.
It could be. That could be part of it.
Okay. All right. So they just might not bloom because they're just not meant to do that. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Good
yep.
luck to you on that. By the way, what's the best product and time to kill clover and crabgrass? We talked a little bit about that earlier. We didn't mention clover, but you can put that on now. Didn't you say that, Bob?
Clover's the best time to hit that is when it's flowering, when you see all the white flowers. And that came in like June, so you kind of missed that window. They will try and grow a little bit more in the fall here, so if you want to hit it again in mid-September, that would be the second best time to do it. But the best time to do it is when you see the white flowers.
And just go get some product at the store that says kills clover, huh?
Yep, a selective herbicide.
And one more time, do you like the liquid or the dry?
The liquid.
Okay.
Because you know what's going on the plant for sure.
Yeah, I guess so. Jane, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Jane?
Excuse me. I have had terrible grub problems in my grass. I'm assuming they're grubs and not cutworms. But it seems like I'm putting on the chemicals at the wrong time because they're not dying. They're getting worse every year. And I'm losing huge, huge patches of grass.
Yeah. Okay, this will be our last call here, Bobby. What do you say to that?
Well, for starters, I would verify that they're grubs, which it sounds like she has. And then you have to make sure you get on a preventative plan as well as take just not a reactive plan. So you want to put down a preventative insecticide in June. And then, obviously, it's kind of like COVID. Even if you're all fixed up with the shots, some of them still survive. So if you see them coming in, put down a full application of a reactive insecticide. Usually in August, late August, early September is when grubs really become active at the surface to feed before they burrowed up back down in the soil and to lay eggs. So
you make it sound like there's two kinds, a proactive and a reactive?
Right. So you want to put down a preventative in June, which as they come to the surface to feed, they're going to hit that layer of insecticide and they'll never make it to the surface. And then the ones that do come through, if there's a high population of them, then you put down a reactive insecticide, which is fast acting, and they'll ingest it and they'll die quickly.
Okay. We'll leave it there and take more questions. Remember, as Pete likes to remind me, to remind you, if you're texting a question in, we read many of those the next week if we don't get to them this week. So dial us in next Wednesday. And Bob, I hope you can join us then.
I'll be there, John.